Sibylle Heusler is on the news today to talk about three things: fire, forests, and slowing down to enjoy the small things. Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. Thanks for tuning in to CICK News for April 20th. Earth Day is this Saturday, and even though the weather has been fluctuating rapidly day to day, and even hour by hour, that doesn't mean you can't get out and enjoy nature. Some of you don't need an arbitrary designated Earth Day. You're smithereens, dagnabbit. You bike all winter long and camp with only the shirt on your back and the supplies you can fit into a coffee can. But for some of us, we're still waiting for the fair weather to round the corner, brighten up our days, and, dare I say, inspire us to go outside. This Saturday, however, April 22nd, there's no excuse. Find a pair of woolly mittens if you need it and get out for Earth Day. Bulkley Valley Research Center researcher Sibylle Heusler is sharing what she enjoys this time of year, what's growing and what secret splendors are waiting to be discovered just under your feet. Sibylle's area of study has been forest ecology, silviculture, the growing and cultivation of trees, that is, and biodiversity. Before we get into those secret splendors, we're speaking about the response of ecosystems and plants to fire, a project she worked on with Evelyn Hamilton, Reg Newman, and Julia Chandler in 2017 and 2018. The aim of this research was about the effects of wildfire and prescribed fire on fuels, soils, vegetation, and tree growth since at least the 1970s. There was an emphasis on collecting data from the past 15 years that has not been digitized because they were at risk of being lost. This is important to speak about for this Earth Day episode of CICK News because fire seasons have been unpredictable in the past number of years, and since 2017, Canada's forests no longer act as a net carbon sink for greenhouse gas emissions. Most non-biologists, silviculturists, and ecologists might not fully understand the relationship of forest and fire. Typically, we think forest fire, bad, but that's not the whole case. And Sibylle's focus of study during her decades-long career has been to understand the ecosystem that supports forest health from trees to soil. So today, I'm learning about healthy fires, cultural fires, and wildfires.
My name is Sibylle Heusler. I'm a forest ecologist. I've been working mostly independently for most of my career. I'm affiliated with the University of Northern BC. And I work in the past number of years. I've worked very closely with the Bulkley Valley Research Center in Smithers.
Sibylle, could you tell me what has been your experience and maybe most, to you personally, most valued information that you've learned in your career about forest health and the biodiversity of the northern interior ecosystem?
Forest, well, you know, it's been surprising, all the stuff that's happened. And I guess that's probably the biggest thing I've learned is you can't really predict or forecast what might happen. I think I'm fairly philosophical about change and human impacts. I'm not easily shocked. I just kind of haven't had high expectations for people would be willing to change.
So I know that this is a research project that you've been involved in, but could you describe the project and its scope for our listeners?
I've worked on fire rates in my entire career, and that was one short project that I was involved with. Evelyn Hamilton, she was the research manager for the Ministry of Forests in Victoria for many decades and then retired. And we worked a lot on fire. I worked on contracts with her and also when I was still with the government for a little while in my very early days. I think going back to the 60s and 70s, there was a lot of fires and people were very concerned about fire. And then we did a lot of slash burning in forests at that time, partly as a hazard reduction, probably mainly as a hazard reduction. And so there's a lot of work on fire was done in the early days, not only career in the late 70s, early 80s, and then going into the 90s. And then that's slow. And basically, things changed. There wasn't any more prescribed burning. And the weather changed. It's been cyclic. And there really were no fires. And there was kind of a sense, I think, along the amateurs and such, that things could be controlled. It wasn't that big of a deal. And then the fire weather came back. And then all of a sudden, people are very frightened. And a lot of attention being paid. So Evelyn didn't want all the work that had been done, that had been basically shelves for 15 or 20 years, to get lost.
Can you kind of describe the relationship of prescribed fires for forests and what that actually does?
Well, people have managed fires for all of human history, and mainly to protect themselves and also to enhance the different resources that they're interested in, whether it's herbs or wildlife or just manipulating the landscape to, bring in more sunshine, et cetera. So there's nothing surprising about that. That's been going on forever. What's more surprising is that we kind of moved away from that. We think we can fire some, but we just kind of ignore the fact that fires are normal in the landscape, that they've always been there. They're all going to be there, whether we try to put them out or not.
And I guess if you could just kind of explain what happens after a fire to a forest.
We usually characterize fires by their severity, and that's basically how much of the organic matter is consumed by the fire. So the effect on ecosystem properties is going to vastly depend on the fire severity and patchiness, basically. So, low severity fires. Most cultural fires tend to be lower severity fires. That's the crown fires that go up in the trees. And those are the scary ones. So the ground fires tend to be lower severity and smaller. And the wildfires even though most wildfires are fairly small. So, people see the black and think everything's dead. They probably think all the animals died. But, it's a normal process in a terrestrial ecosystem to have fire, certainly in arboreal forests. And the effect of fire is really going to depend on the local conditions. But plants come back for varying reasons. The fires don't burn all the earth. They burn only a very small fraction of the organic matter that's present in the soil. That's, it depends on, sometimes they'll burn all of the top layers down to mineral soil, but then you have the organic carbon that's stored in the mineral soil, which can very often be a lot more than was on the surface. And then there's a recovery that happens. That's mostly what I studied, is all the different things that happen afterwards, how the plants reestablish. And all that varies depending on the severity of the fire, depending on the species that are present, seasonally, and all those kinds of things. So it's a fairly complex process. And so typically what comes back are first are fire mosses.
Yep.
And they're a set of mosses that have spores that are already sitting in the soil. And they show up and they're there a year later and they just cover the ground. And then there's a whole set of little plants, annuals and biennials, typically biennials, that come up. There's a cordalis, which is like a kind of like a blue bleeding heart. And there's a geranium that comes up, and a bunch of plants that are willow herbs that are related to fireweed that come up. And they're just really short-lived, and they seeds are in the soil, and they're very, very resistant. They'll last for thousands of years, and they're waiting for that fire. They come up, and 2 years later, they're basically gone. They've done their thing. They've produced a ton of seeds, and they're gone. And during that time, because there's some vegetation cover, the moss cover, and these early herbs that can make it through that, and then the laurels and everything, then you start to have places for other species where the seeds collect and start, little bits of organic matter develop and so on. And the whole basically primary succession is taking place. But that's really the extreme case. Most stars will have a little bit, Wildfire will have a little bit of that on a rock outcrop. Good example, if you go up to China Nose Mountain, and you'll see there's a big rock outcrop and a cliff, and mountain goats are in there. Anyways, that burnt a few years back, and you can see all the stuff that's growing there. It's quite interesting on the rocks. But typically, the most areas will, the vast amount of vegetation will survive, other than the conifers. And this will all come shooting back in the next few years. And we see the fireweed, and we think, oh, the seeds glued in. But typically, there's fireweed around already, so that will sprout right back. And then they'll produce a few seeds, and then the seeds will germinate, and things will go from there. In the up northern BC, all the plants are just waiting for that fire.
And people will say that berries will be really good after, like after a fire or something like that, that the berries will just be really good and fruitful and plentiful. Is that true?
Well, the season after. Okay, so a raspberry is going to take 2 years to produce its first seed. A raspberry has one of those kind of, a lot of the berry producing plants, the berry has the seed in it, right? The thing that either you poop it out or you spit it out or something. And those seeds usually have an hard undercoat, like things in the raspberry fruit family, they'll have these hard seeds. So they'll germinate after the fire. If they're huckleberries, typically are regenerating from little roots, rhizomes that survive the fire, and they'll come up. And it takes them a number of years to recover. So 5 to 10 years after the fire is when they're really good. And then, you know, but depending on how quickly the trees come back in, they can last for decades or they maybe 15 years or so, they'll start to die back. Of course, there's mushrooms, there's the morels. Now, they come up the next year, the fire morels, and then they're gone very shortly after. So I can get a little coming up with examples. But you know, it's not all great. There's lots of values that are lost because things have changed radically. You know, these days we're very concerned about the loss of old growth forests. We don't have a lot of them left in the interior. So old growth forests, you know, say they have hemlock and western red cedar in them, not around Smithers, but heading out to Hazleton or whatever. And they've got the understory is Devil's Club. And then they've got the rare lichens and some real diverse moss community. Those species are the ones, they take a long time to come back. Especially if it's a high severity fire. So the different patchiness, that's where the diversity comes from. You know, we did a lot of work on what's the difference between clear cutting and wildfire. And I wrote a whole synthesis report on book chapter on that. We have this tendency to kind of have, you know, things be a little uniform, and that can really make a big difference. The context is always very, very important. Any time you want to have an ecosystem respond to any kind of a disturbance, you know, summer's just one of many possible disturbances.
So what do you hope that people do or think about or care about, or how do they interact with the forest that you think would be impactful?
I think we should speak out in favor of cultural use of fire and revisiting that concept. You have to be open to that concept, and they should think about how, you know, they themselves could be more open to the concept of cultural use of fire and considering fire as an important component of those forests. And so if somebody's proposing culture here somewhere near you, don't just immediately start now, because that, you know, that's one of the reasons we don't have fire. So we want to work collaboratively on that and figure out how we can make it work for people. So getting off the topic of fire specifically, let's just spend time, you know, spend time out there. And I know all these people that hunt, and they're in there and they're burning their way up to the alpine. What's with that? You know, go a little slower. pause and take a look. I'm older now, so I go slower. Look out there for the exercise. Go there to observe. See what you can observe. Yeah, we do our naturalist walks and we go really slowly. We hardly go anywhere. Hopefully we take enough time to pause and look at things and think about why things are the way they are. And don't just go to the pretty places. Spend some time in a clear cut. See what there. I mean, if you're very picky, I'll go there anyways. Just find the one wildfire. Go and have a look at it. You know, I did a lot of work in wildfires and fairly early in my career. And I know that when I was a child, I was afraid of them. They were black and they were scary. But if you spend time in them, the scariness goes away because it's beautiful. Everybody can see that those beautiful fire wreaths and the black stumps are beautiful. You spend more time there and get an appreciation for it. I do recommend that kind of nose hike. You go through the forest there and do it in July when the fireweed is blooming. But there's so many flowers and it's pretty cool. Okay. Well, right now, this time of year, you're going to go out. Again, nothing to do with fire, but the bryophytes, the mosses, and the lichens are really conspicuous right now. And before the leaves come out, and when it's, when the snow is basically gone, and that's something you can look at closely and really enjoy that smaller scale. You know, take a little magnifying glass with you if you want. And that'd be a neat thing to do on Earth Day, because there's not a lot of other stuff to distract you. I like to look at the arboreal lichens and the mosses at this time.
Yeah. Well, moss and lichens are very exciting.
They are older. There is just as much exciting stuff there is with flowers, It's just a little smaller.
Yeah, exactly. But that's okay. Small's good. Small and slow.
Well, small is great.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.